Hi, this is Prabin. Thank you for tuning in. Whichever part of the world you are, I really hope that you're safe and doing really well. This is the first episode that I'm recording, and I hope I would record many episodes regularly on different topics, ranging from micromobility, building businesses, life, etc. Today, I've picked a topic related to micromobility because I'm active in micromobility. It's a topic which is relevant for the current time and during the current crisis. About a month or two ago, I wrote an article anticipating, you know, what could happen to mobility in general because of COVID-19. One is the lockdown, where we know that the entire system would come to a standstill. So public transportation was, you know, completely down. Same for car movement of cars and biking, etc. But what's very important is the post-lockdown period. You know, when the lockdowns are lifted, what mode of transport would people prefer, right? So I have some theories about, you know, how this modal shift would happen, and we're going to talk about it right now. If you look at the current mode of transport that's regularly used, it's three of them. One is public transport, ride hailing, which is, you know, the Uber and Lyft, and third is the shared micromobility vehicles, which is Jump and Tier and Lyft, Lime, Bird, etc. Right. So this is pre-COVID. So during this COVID, this entire saga of you know, news and rumors and everything about how the virus is transmitted, one thing that is very sure is that there's some fear which is instilled in people, right? Which would influence the way they would go about picking modes of transport post you know, lockdown, right? After the lockdown is lifted. So what I feel is that for public transport, it's a no-brainer. It's a confined space with X number of people packed, and there's already a lot of advisory against public transport. So normally there would be an aversion towards using public transit. For ride hailing, if you look at Uber and a couple of other car sharing companies, they are taking a lot of good efforts, in fact, to ensure that their customers are safe. So for example, drivers are, you know, they advise to stay home if they feel something is wrong. They advise to wear masks. And you know, generally to ensure that the car is safe, or you know, people who get into the car, they are safe. But again, if you look at it as a space, it's a confined space, right? And again, it's a fear of unknown. So there's a driver, and you don't know if he is all right or not, right? And second is, you don't know who got into the car previously, right? And same goes for the air conditioning system as well. So there's an air conditioning system. There's and for some weird reason, if the circulation is not turned on, what I mean by that is, if the air is not taken from outside and circulated, there could be a chance that, you know, there could be some droplets trapped. Right, though the probability of that is very low, these are thoughts that could influence people, right? And what I would also include in the ride hail is also car sharing. These are companies like DriveNow, Poppy in Belgium, for example. So and Car2Go from Daimler. So these are cars which are available for sharing, and what the problem there is also the fear of unknown. It's about, I mean, there are companies who say that they're sanitizing it, but if you look at it, you don't know who got into the car just before you start driving it, right? So that's another fear factor. And when it comes to shared micromobility vehicles like e-bikes and e-scooters, there were a couple of directives about virus transmission through contact surfaces. Though CDC has reduced the emphasis right now, if you go to their website, you won't see a lot of emphasis on it. But having said that, they haven't dropped it, saying that it doesn't transmit by surface contact. So there is still a tiny probability, right? And if you look at a scooter, the handles and screens, these are common touch points, and there again, you don't know who used the scooters before. You don't know if they wore gloves. You don't know if they disinfected, right? And there's very slim chance that you would carry around disinfectant and cleaning wipes and gloves and all that to use these scooters, right? So these are different fear factors that could influence the decision making for people. And considering this, keeping this in mind, I came up with a chart which kind of laid out saying people who are using public transit today, where they would shift to, right, given that public transit is not safe, right? So from what I think, the most safest form of transport remains personal car. So people who ditch their car to take public transport before, there's a higher probability that they would shift back to a personal car, right? And followed by that, some of them, who have a few kilometers of commute every day, they would probably think about dusting up their old bike or scooter, or they would probably buy an e-bike or something, which they could use for the commute. So that would become the second choice. And the shared micromobility vehicles, so that's the e-bikes and e-scooters that's available for sharing, that would become the third choice. Because one good part about shared micromobility vehicles is that because it's outside and exposed to sun, generally speaking, you have some reservation there saying, maybe it is a bit safer. So that would become the third choice. Ride hailing and car sharing would be the last one, last to pick. And for short commutes, maybe like about a kilometer or two, depending on the fitness level of people, walking would also remain as one of the key ways of commuting. If you look at users of ride hailing and car sharing, if they have personal cars, there again, they would switch to personal cars, or they would drop back to owned micromobility vehicles or shared micromobility vehicles. And I wouldn't discount the fact that some of these customers would try to contact companies for short-term rentals of cars. So what I mean by that is, maybe they don't have cars, own cars, so they would probably try to rent a car for a certain period of time until, things settle down. So could be for 3 months or 6 months, right? And you would also see user flows from ride-hailing, car-sharing to own micromobility vehicles. So, people would buy bikes or shared micromobility vehicles. And I also anticipate user outflow from shared micromobility vehicles as well. So people who were using shared e-bikes and e-scooters, if they are from a profile where they really fear of the unknown, they might switch back to cars if they came from cars, or they might decide to buy their own personal vehicles. If you look at Bird and Tier and Bond Mobility in Switzerland, so there are a couple of companies who are offering the bikes and scooters that's available for sharing that can be purchased by people. So you can just buy it and use it as your own vehicle. So people might think about that, or go back to walking, because these shared micromobility vehicles, they serve for very short commute, right? So this is a general layout about how people might think and how the modal shift might happen. And there are early signs that the e-bike sales are booming. One of the e-bike OEMs locally in Belgium, they reported that, if you take the 2019 sales, they've achieved almost about 70% of it in the first 4 months of 2020, and they're flooded with orders. Same goes for OneMove, Cowboy, and other brands. And there are reports from the US that bike stores are running out of bikes to sell. If you go a bit further and think about, what could also happen post-crisis, what I strongly believe in is that humanity as a whole will bounce back very quick. That's how we are. If you haven't read Enan Taleb's concept of anti-fragility, where he talks about, it goes like this, what doesn't kill you makes you much stronger. So that's the trait of human race as a whole. So if all these uncertainties and downtimes, it actually makes us much more stronger, and we rebound much faster and much better. So if you look at the financial crisis before Spanish flu times, war, those are historic evidences that tells us that we rebound much faster and come out of it much powerful, right? One of the charts that I did mention in the article is also a chart that was about automotive production across the globe in units. So if you look at the time around Spanish flu, there was a dip. If you look at 1920s, it did dip, but right after that, you see a huge spike in automotive production across the globe. I think that maybe this might repeat as well. And if you look at the modal shift, right, take public transit or any of these, the way people are influenced would not be the same across the globe. So, for example, you cannot just take the data from China and try to apply it across the globe, saying that that's exactly how it's going to happen. No. There's one index that I closely follow when working with different cultures across the globe. It's called Uncertainty Avoidance Index from a IBM, ex-IBM employee called Hofstede. So it's a cultural dimension theory that he came about with a couple of indices trying to quantify different cultures. Right. So if you look at the uncertainty avoidance index, if you look at the different ratings for countries, it ranges from 0 to 120, and there are a bunch of countries that are at the top spectrum, like Belgium, Japan, France, Spain, Portugal. So that's on the higher spectrum, higher end of the spectrum. What that means is that people in these countries, they are risk averse, and they tend to stay away from uncertainties, right? And if you look at the bottom end of the spectrum, countries like India, US, even UK, there the uncertainty avoidance index is low, which means that they are okay taking risks, right? What this means is that if you look at public transit and these modal shifts, people might come back to the original state much faster in countries with low uncertainty avoidance index compared to the ones in the higher spectrum. So businesses that are involved in who have mobility businesses in countries like Belgium and Portugal, Japan, France, etc., they have to take extra precaution, saying that people might not come back and the utilization might not go back to the state before, right? What that means is also that companies will have to invest quite a bit of time and energy in educating users so that the fear of unknown is gone, right? So there's something that I believe would influence decision making. And I was trying to get some data around the times around Spanish flu, about what happened around around those times, just to try and get an idea about how human beings reacted to it, right? I couldn't get a lot of data, but I bumped into two important data points. One is if you look at the fact book that that gets published almost every year by American Public Transit Association, APTA. If you specifically look at the 1981 edition of it, it's available online. There's one graph that indicates the number of passengers. So in terms of million passengers per day, if you look at the time around Spanish flu, there was no dip. It was a gradual increase before Spanish flu, and moving forward to the next decade as well. The biggest fall was around the Great Depression, where the entire world came to a standstill. But specifically around the pandemic, Spanish flu, there was no dip, right? This is for US, which is a country with low uncertainty avoidance index. And I also bumped into a study, the sources, couple of authors, Pooley, Colin, and Turnbull, and it's a paper written in 2000 in the Commuting, Transport, and Urban Forum. Forum, and it's a research done two cities, which is Manchester and Glasgow, and the data point is on the modal share between public transit, personal vehicles, and walking, right? And even there, if you the data is per decade throughout the 20th century, and if you look at the decade before Spanish flu, the 1910 to 1919, and post Spanish flu, which is 1920 to 1929, there's no dip, but if you look at 1920 to 1929, there was a slight increase, in fact, in terms of the public transit share, right? On the other hand, if you look at personal vehicles, that went up. It was a general trend, but specifically for public transit, there was not a dip, but a slight increase, in fact. Sorry. And I couldn't find data for countries with higher uncertainty avoidance index, but at least for these, it is pretty evident that people might come back to normalcy pretty soon. Will it repeat again? I don't know, but that's how human behavior is, right? There could have been a lot of factors that influenced their decision then, but right now, there's keeping aside rumors, there's enough medium for scientists and all of us to educate people that you can get back to original modes of transport when it is safe, right? So so these are a couple of things that I think, and what I feel. And if I have to give a piece of advice for companies which operate in countries with higher uncertainty avoidance indexes, to look into their business model and not stick to sharing as such, which means, sharing meaning short-term sharing, not just 10 minutes, 15 minutes sharing of their assets, but try to get customers, probably write to your customers, asking them if they would want to keep the car for a week or at least a day. Right, at least a day, a week, or a month, whatever. Right, so there are two things. One, you get higher utilization. Right, probably you can have the same turnover or even higher revenues per vehicle. Right, that's one. And second is, it would also give confidence to others who look at it. So for example, if it's DriveNow, and when you see a lot of DriveNow cars on the street, it gives more confidence to end users, saying, hey, probably it's okay to use it, right? So same goes for shared scooters and shared bikes as well. And for shared scooters specifically, I mean, I fully understand that scooter companies, they've been talking about sanitizing it every day or you know, per X number of rides, and the warehouse personnel wearing gloves and all this stuff. But that's more to protect employees or workers than the riders, right? So say that somebody who's infected, who took the scooter, and right after that somebody else is using it, right? There could be a very small probability that there is a transmission, right? So and I mean, I see a lot of marketing push, but I don't see a tangible solution for this. If you look at a bike sharing program from China, I don't quite remember the name, but what they had is that they had workers going around sanitizing these vehicles, and right after they sanitize a bike, it is updated in the system and it's visible in the app saying, hey, it was sanitized X minutes back, right? That's a easy technical implementation that companies can think about, right? There's strong evidence of surface transmission, but it's eliminating this fear of unknown, right? And it's the responsibility of the mobility companies to do something about it. So that's about it today, and I'll put links of the article below. Do send me a message if you have any questions, and I'll talk to you soon with another talk. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.